You see, there's spurious faith. There's phony faith. There's empty faith. There's faith that's meaningless. And so Philip emphasized that it has to be from the heart. It has to be real trusting, real resting. And that reliance on the Lord, that resting and trusting in the Lord, is the essence of real saving faith. Until you take your seat in the car, you're not relying on it.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for the privilege of talking to you about the Lord Jesus. And it is a most personal thing, I know, and yet it is the mandate that we go and preach this gospel to every creature, every person, every man, woman, boy and girl needs to hear what the Lord Jesus has accomplished in his perfect life and sinless death on that cross as he took our sins upon his own body, becoming a curse for us. And so I trust that you will stay tuned with us right through the message today as we deal with the nature of saving faith and what it means to believe from the heart. It's not enough just to think it or even say it. It has to be out of your heart. And I want you to heed carefully the call to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus.
Our Bible reading today is in the book of Acts. That's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we come to the book of Acts. And I'd like you to read the Bible as we go through these verses. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Now the story is of the evangelist Philip, who is sent by God to a desert place. When I came to church this morning, I thought I was in a desert place. I see the leaves falling off the trees due to the dryness. Where we have been for our congress over in Pennsylvania, it was lush green, some rain along the way. And what a difference. And here is the evangelist Philip. He is commanded by God to leave one location and go down to a desert place. And he's on a special mission to one man. And I want you to follow along here in this biblical account as we read of Philip being sent to speak to a man about his soul. May that be true of you today, and may the Lord minister to your heart. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was taken away, And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word to your heart and help us to take it in as we come back to it in a little while in our sermon and message this morning.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're moving right now to our ministry here at our Free Presbyterian Church, bringing you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Stay tuned right to the end. May God bless you through his word today.
Now here was the convert's confession. Look at verse 35 and then verse 37. You see it in your Bible there, Acts 8:35. Then Philip, that's the evangelist, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, the Bible, Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. And then verse 37, and Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And from this we can see who the object of saving faith is. It's the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, the deity of Christ. He's God. Do you believe that? He's God in the flesh. In Mary's womb was an amazing miracle. The divine nature of the second person of the Trinity was fused into the human nature of man, the God-man. Jesus is God and man in one person. I spoke a little of his cross work. When he died on the cross, the blood was not merely the blood of a man. It was the blood of divine value. It had infinite value. It purchased eternal life. That's why Peter preached, we are not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. It was sinless blood. Because Christ was sinless all of his life. And when Christ paid the price on the cross, it was enough. It's enough. It's all done. And that's what you and I need to appreciate. Faith is to accept that Christ's work on the cross as our Redeemer was enough. It was enough for God. Now the question is it enough for you? I learned this of a man who was converted from a life of drugs, Peter Orasek. And he was in rough shape as he in a life of drugs. And he was befriended by someone who I believe was Plymouth Brethren. And took him in, gave him meals, explained the gospel to him, took him along to church meetings. And Peter began to understand what it meant to become a Christian, to live a new life. And after a particular gospel meeting was in this man's home, And they had a long discussion. And Peter said, I want to be a Christian. I want to get saved. And the man asked him, do you believe that Jesus has done enough on the cross? And he left him with that question, went out of the room. And Peter Arasek walked the floor and pondered the question, can I say that what Jesus did on the cross was enough for me? And the man came back, and Peter said, yes, yes, on that cross, Jesus did enough. No more suffering, no more payments, no more works, no more anything. I can be saved on the basis of Jesus' work alone. His blood is enough for me. And on that basis, he pointed him and led him by prayer to call on the Lord Jesus to be saved. Now that's the question for you today, because some people want to have Christ plus their heritage, Christ plus their good works, maybe even paying money into the church. And I'm probably going to be the last one to tell you not to pay money into the church. But if you're doing it for payment for salvation, it will never save you. It will never save you. Works, payment by man is rejected by God. You remember Cain, how he brought the fruits of the ground and presented them to God, and God rejected his offering. Abel brought the lamb. He brought the sacrifice of blood, and he was accepted. And when you put your faith in Jesus' blood as the Lamb of God, that it's enough for your salvation, you're accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Accepted on the grounds of faith alone. And so don't try to be your own Savior. Don't try to lift yourself up by the bootlaces and save yourself. You can't do it. You come as a bankrupt, empty, lost soul and say, Lord Jesus, you paid it all for me. And you put your faith in the work of the Lord Jesus. Now, Acts 8:37, I want us to get down to bedrock here. What did Philip really mean? If thou believest with all thine heart. You see, there's spurious faith. There's phony faith. There's empty faith. There's faith that's meaningless. And so Philip emphasized that it has to be from the heart. It has to be real trusting, real resting. And that reliance on the Lord, that resting and trusting in the Lord is the essence of real saving faith. Until you take your seat in the car, you're not relying on it. You can go to the showroom and look at the most modern model, walk around, admire the paint, admire the new gadgets, admire many things about the engineering of the vehicle, but until you sit in the seat, you're going nowhere. And it is this hearty trust, this self-reliance. Now, not reliance in self, but this personal reliance, this getting on board, believing on the Lord Jesus, that is the salvation that is from the heart. I read of a NASA pilot. He was training for that launch into space. And all the years of his training, he would not get on a fair ride. You know those Ferris wheels that go around? He was training to go on a rocket to space, but he wouldn't go on a ride that would be for moms, dads, and children. He wouldn't get on. And there are those that hear about the gospel, hear about Jesus coming into the world, dying, suffering, and shedding his blood for them, but they never come to the place of heart trusting, believing. You remember the Philippian jailer who said, cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe on. You must put your complete trust in the Lord. I talked with a lady who said, "I believe all you're saying to me." It seemed that I wasn't telling her anything new. She heard it all before. Then I asked her, "Have you called on the Lord Jesus to be your personal Savior?" "No, but I go to church. I sing and I hear others pray." "But no," I said, "have you personally asked the Lord into your heart to be your Savior?" This is hearty trust, trusting out of the heart, calling on the Lord to be your Savior. Now let's look at this in the Bible a moment. 1 John 3, verse 23. It's always good for you to see this in the Bible for yourself. What is this hearty faith? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son." Now the name there stands for the whole person of who Christ is. The Son of God. The God in the flesh. The God-man. The Redeemer, Savior. The sin-bearer at the cross. And you believe on his name, his character, his work, his everything. And the nature of this trust now is coming out of your heart. Is that true? What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing if you could today call and say, "I am now resting my salvation, not in anything I am, not in anything that I have been born into, not any heritage, not any works, not any religion, but I am going to rest only directly on the person of the Lord Jesus. I don't need a pastor or a priest or a Buddhist monk. I don't need an imam or anyone else to represent me. Jesus is the mediator, the way to the Father. And I am coming to him by faith, personal faith, my own heart resting in the Lord Jesus and his work." That will make you a Christian. Then you can say you are a Christian. Then by his power coming into your life, you can live a new life. Now you need to be assured of the warrants that you have to believe on the Lord for salvation. There's a good old Puritan word, isn't it? Warrant. What right have you to believe? Who says that you, Joe Brown, whatever your name is, that you can personally come and trust and accept the Lord as your Savior? Look at Philip's word in verse 37. "And he said to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." That means it's lawful. You have every reason to come. Nothing is hindering. That's what the Ethiopian's question was. What doth hinder me? And Philip was saying, if you believe in your heart, thou mayest. There's no hindrance. Nothing holding you back. You have every warrant, every reason to come. Now the gospel warrant is based on all the promises of God to sinners. Now let's get that. The Lord did not come into the world to save the righteous, but sinners. He didn't come to call the good, but the wicked. And the moment that you recognize that you're a sinner, you are a candidate for salvation. You are the one whom the Lord is calling and gives promises to. But on the other hand, if you say, well, I've never sinned, I'm not going to be kept out because of my wicked life. Think of all those other bad people. I'm way better than them. If you're justifying yourself, making yourself good enough to stand before God, then you have no warrant. You have no right to come. But the moment you recognize that you've come short of his glory and failed and become a sinner and you've wrecked it and you've ruined it, you're bankrupt and empty and hopeless, now you may come. Because the promise is made to sinners. The other wonderful thing about the invitation is that it's open to all who will come. I believe in election, but I have no idea who the elect are. But the Lord calls me to preach to every creature, to everyone, and everyone who comes. This is the warrant. Everyone who comes. The Lord promises, I will in no wise, no way, for no reason, cast out. So you may come, absolutely, with confidence and with assurance. And the Bible, well, the judgment is pronounced upon those souls for not believing. And when you stand on the judgment day before a holy God, one of the accusations will be, you didn't believe on my son. You were a rejecter of my son. You would not trust in his salvation. You knew about it, but you stayed away. You would not come. That will be a point of judgment. And so to be saved, you can come and repent and turn to the Lord and be marvelously saved. Then lastly, to wrap it all up today, the Bible closes in Revelation 22 with the widest invitation imaginable. If you turn to the very last page in the Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 17, there you will see the invitation that's wider than wide. This is the Niagara invitation of the Bible. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, I could preach a sermon on that one. I think I did some time before preach a sermon on this text. But you'll see the gradation here. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. That's the Holy Ghost and Jesus. The church, the bride, you're in church today. The gospel ministry is inviting you. And let him that heareth, I trust you have heard today. Come, and let him that is athirst come. But some people ask, but when am I thirsty enough? I thirst, but do I really thirst? Do I thirst truly? When do I thirst enough? Well, the answer then is given, and whosoever will, no conditions, no stipulations, no hindrances, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely by faith. Will you? I plead with you today. I plead with you today. I beseech you to trust in the Lord Jesus today with all your heart. Why? Because of providence. Think of the providence that took place when God sent Philip from one area down to that desert place to speak to this Ethiopian sitting on a chariot, reading out of the Bible, a man he had never known or heard of, and they intersected at the command, the providence of God. Is it not providential that you today have heard this good news that Jesus saves the worst of sinners? And saves not by works, but by faith alone. Is that not providence? Why are you here? Did God not intend you to be here? Is this not God opening up a great door of invitation to you? Surely you're invited. And I plead with you not to turn down that invitation, not to go away an unbeliever, not to go away a rejecter, not to go away in darkness, hopeless, but come, become a Christian. Become a Christian by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nobody here going to boast. And when we get to heaven, Nobody will ever say, I got here by my works. I got here because I was wise enough, good enough. No, it will be, I'm here by grace, by a gift, by faith, and faith alone. Will you? Will you enter in today? If you would like to pray and seek the Lord or learn more, please talk with me. I have a little booklet for any visitor today called A New Beginning. I'd love to give you one of those.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I wonder if someone walked up to you and began to talk about you trusting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. How would you respond? Would you put your hands up and say, hey, whoa, not now, not me, not inter. Well, of course, that is really a matter of the heart. Where are you in your interest level in knowing the Savior? If you are burdened about sin, if you hate sin, if you realize that one day you're going to face death, that you're going to go out into eternity and stand before God at the judgment seat, and then, according to God's pronouncement, it will be eternal hell or eternal rewards in heaven. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus and bow the knee to him will be welcomed into the kingdom of his Father. Those who reject him, they will be in a lost eternity, hopeless and helpless forever and ever and ever. I hope today that you give solemn consideration to your need to become a Christian. Yes, this is calling you to leave your sin, leave your worldly ways, and become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take up his cross, whatever that cost may be, that you might be a Christian, a one trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to save you from sin and hell and give you the gift of eternal life. And saving faith is your personal heart's cry, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. If I can be of personal help, feel free to give me a call. But now we're coming to the closing announcement.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.